just a prayer away. Isn't it good to know that we serve a Savior that's always there? All we have to do is call on His name. He's just a prayer away. I want to thank Miss Annette for that beautiful song. It's right on time. Very appropriate for our message for today. You know, for the past 9 days, we have been in our 10 days of prayer. And our 10 days of prayer was focused on how Satan attacks us. And we found out that Satan actually has a battle plan. And it is unique. It's thought out. It's customized for each and every one of us. His attack on us are different. Mine is different from yours. Yours is different from mine. He's meticulous at what he does. And so we went through some of the strategies and attacks and tactics that Satan uses this week. First day, we talked about his attack on our passion, getting it back when it's gone. Day two was, strategy two was his attack on your focus, fighting the real enemy. He wants us to be thrown off guard, to take the focus off of him. Then we talked about his attack on your identity, remembering who you are. Your family was four, fortifying the lives of those you love. And then five, your past, ending the reign of guilt and shame. Many of us found out that, you know, things just pop up, seem like out of nowhere at certain times. And it puts us in a state where we just feel down about ourselves. And we identified that as an attack that Satan uses against us. Day six was your fears, confronting your worries and claiming your calling. Strategy seven was your purity, staying strong in the most susceptible places. Strategy eight that he used against us was your pressures. We want to be able to reclaim the peace, rest, and contentment. Then last night, strategy nine, we talked about your hurts, turning bitterness into forgiveness. Then today is the final day of the 10 days of prayer, a deeper experience. Each night we've exposed different tactics and strategies that Satan uses to bring you down. And this evening at 5 o'clock, we will go into another strategy that he attacks, and that's our Christian relationships. And so I invite you to plan to be there this afternoon on Zoom, and the ID number is 949-1838-7667. We invite you that are here, we invite you that are viewing this over the internet, again, 5 p.m., and the Zoom ID number for you to get in is 949-1838-7667. We're going to again expose the attack that Satan is using tonight. This week we learned that prayer is our armored tank. Mm-hmm. And you know, it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, you know, when put into action by God's people, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Prayer is our major assault weapon in battle. Pray with me as we invite God to take us through this message today. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, asking that you use me to speak your word this morning. I ask for your presence here to draw us into a closer, more personal relationship with you. Cleanse us, O Lord, of our sins. Prepare our hearts for unstoppable prayer in a way that pleases you. Help us, Father, to know you and love you more starting today. Use all of the circumstances of our lives to make us more like you, Jesus. And then teach us how to pray more strategically and effectively in your name, according to your will, O Father, and your word. Use our faith, our obedience, and our prayers for the benefit of others, and may it bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. I've entitled the message for today, Unstoppable Prayer. Unstoppable Prayer. Our text this morning, we're going to start there. If I can get the text put back up on the screen, I would appreciate it. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. I'm going to read all the way through this one more time, and then I'm going to go back. There's a few texts in there that I want us to key in on and focus on. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And finally, verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." All right. So we're going to go back to verse 10. We're going to start there. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong." Let's pause right there. "Finally, my brethren, be strong." So if we stopped right there, be strong. What would that mean? What would strong mean? If I was a weightlifter and I was able to bench press 400 pounds, would that be strong enough? I had to pick it up, but would that be strong enough? That's the first question. Is it strong enough? The second question, somebody said it. Strong enough for what? Right? Strong enough for what? So I need a little bit more information here. Be strong. Well, we know that the rest of the verse talks about being in battle. So if I was able to pick up 400 pounds, would I be strong enough for battle? Right? But the Bible didn't stop there. It carried on in that same verse. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of whose might? So does my might have anything to do with this battle? No. Why? Because the Lord knew that I wouldn't be equipped. You wouldn't be equipped for this battle. So in verse 10, he starts out by telling us, you're not ready for what's about to happen. You don't have the power. You don't have the stamina. You don't have it. You could bench press 800 pounds, and it wouldn't be enough. So he's telling us to be strong in his might, in his power. And then he tells us how to get strong, right? He doesn't just leave us there, because then we wouldn't know what to do. He says, put on the armor of God, the helmet of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So what is the wiles? We don't talk like that. I never used that in a sentence, have you? What is the wiles of the devil? There it is. He's a tricky guy. He likes to use tricks against us, right? So the Lord is saying, look, you're not ready for this battle against Satan. He's a tricky guy. He's not going to fight this battle against you the way that you think he should fight it. Right? He's gonna do everything that you're not even thinking about. So he wants us to get prepared here. Right? Here, I'm gonna try to do an illustration. Elder Anderson, would you stand up for a moment? Now you all see Elder Anderson, and y'all see me. We're close to the same size, right? Now if we had a beef and we was gonna duke it out. And I said something that really got up under his skin, and he comes up here around here, right? I would have to get prepared for him. Now, I already know a little something about him. I know that he's been a trained officer. This brother has trained. I have not been a trained officer. So as he's coming up, I'm thinking, now, how am I going to take this brother down? Because if he gets up here, my hands are going to be full. See, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So see, in my mind, I have to come up with a battle plan. I have to figure out, well, how can I get advantage of this brother? So I'll tell you what will go through my mind. When he gets about right here, I'm not letting him come all the way up here. I'm jumping off this stage onto him, and I want to get him down. And when I get him down, I better start wailing, because if he gets up, then I don't know what's going to happen. Right? Now, that's my battle plan. You could be seated. Thank you. We good. We don't have no beef. At least I hope we don't. Just like I had to put together a battle plan to go up against him, Satan already knows his end. And he don't want to be there by himself. Y'all heard that statement, misery loves company. Well, that's Satan. He wants to bring you down with him. And so he's prepared a battle plan for you, for you, for you, for you, everybody. And he doesn't care how old you are, how young you are, what color you are, how big you are, how skinty you are. He does not care. He don't care whether you are a mother, a father, a sister, or a brother. He does not care. He's out to get you. He's out to get you. So the Lord just doesn't leave us here and say, hey, be strong. He tells you how to be strong. Amen. Then he tells you what you have to do, right? He goes on, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, Elder Anderson and I, we can fight each other. We're flesh and blood. If he finds a weak spot in me, and I'm getting him, well, he's going to go for my weak spot. He knows I got bad feet. So he's going to try to take my feet out. Right? Y'all may say, well, that's dirty. Well, yeah. Yeah. There's only rules. My grandfather used to tell me. He taught me how to fight. He said, listen, and the only time there are rules is if you're in a ring. They have certain rules. He was a street fighter. He said, when you're on the street, everything counts. He said, if there's a garbage can, you use it. Boom. If there's a brick wall and you could get him, boom! Take him down any way you can. That's how he taught me, right? So you would take advantage in a flesh fight, man-to-man fight. But have you all ever seen the Kung Fu movies, the ninja movies? You don't see them coming. You don't see him coming. Boom. What was that? You know? That's how Satan fights. He attacks you from all ends. You won't see him coming. And it's hard to prepare for that. And so God tells us to put on the whole armor of God. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor. He says it again. He repeats himself. It must be important. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, stand. Don't get scared, or how they say it, don't get scared. Stand up. Stand up. And it goes on, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield. Don't forget about the shield. Take the shield because he knows that your enemy is going to shoot arrows and darts at you. Take that shield of protection. You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation. If your head gets chopped off, body can't do nothing once the head is gone. So you got to have that helmet of salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit. And then most of all, the sword is what? The word of God. The word of God. And then here at verse 18, it says, it starts off with the word what?
Praying.
Praying always with all prayer, again, and supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. So, just based on that, it seems to me that putting on the armor is important. And praying is important. Right? And that's where we have been this week. And I tell you, before we came out, we have our little huddle in the office, and sometimes we ask, well, how's your week? And the tech team manager came back, and the three of us, or you know, whoever was in the room, we was like, well, how's your week? And the common denominator that came out said, man, this has been one of the roughest weeks I've had all year. I've had in a long time. And the elder said, I don't want another week like this. And I'm like, you know what? This has been a really rough week. And so somebody said, I think it was the tech director, he said, you know why? He said, I think it's because we've been going through the 10 days of prayer. And we have been exposing Satan's secrets. We've been calling him out. We've been learning how to deal with how he deals with us. We're getting the upper hand on what Satan does. So we're not confused. This week we talked about sometimes we get into arguments. Anybody in this room never been in an argument? I don't see one hand that came up, not one. Everybody's been in arguments. I've been in arguments, and after the argument has kind of settled down and I'm by myself, and I'll sit there, I was like, where'd that come from? That didn't even make sense. Why did I say that? Or why did she say that? I don't understand. But then I go about my business, and then, you know, another argument may come about, and it's the same type of thing. What we learned this week, we understand now where it's originating. God doesn't bring or put you in a situation that brings bad, discontent, separation. That's not his style. But that's all over Satan's resume. He likes separation. He does not like unity. This week we came together and we were talking about being unified in the understanding of what Satan is doing and how he's attacking us. You think he liked that? No, not at all. Not at all. And so he was out to get us. He doesn't want us to understand this thing called prayer. You see, Satan is content, though. He's content with our, how do I put it? With our pet prayers. You understand what I'm saying by that? You know, when we were young, we were taught a prayer. I know I was. How'd it go? See, y'all know it. Now I lay me down to sleep, right? I don't know when you guys stopped praying that prayer, but I prayed that prayer all the way up into my teenage years. I did. And there was a specific time that I prayed it. Bedtime. Got on my knees and I prayed that prayer. Now, there was nothing wrong with that prayer. Don't get me wrong. But as we grow, as we get a better understanding of what prayer is all about, that prayer's got to change. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there are things that are happening in our life. And like I said before, Satan doesn't care about your age. He's going to try and use you whatever way he can manipulate you. And so as we get older, we have to understand that Satan understands prayer too. And so he's okay with the pet prayers. He's okay with that. But he gets upset when we start understanding that there is power in prayer. When he's exposed for who he is and what he's doing in our lives, he gets upset. He does not want us to understand that. Why? Because we gain a high ground on him. When we start understanding where the power comes from, the verse told us where the power comes from. Comes from the Lord. When we start understanding that, now we know something that Satan knows, but he didn't want us to find out. And he gets upset. He knows that prayer is powerful. And I like to think that there may be another level of prayer. And that's why I entitled this message, Unstoppable Prayer. Unstoppable Prayer. Because when you start praying with unstoppable prayers, that means that you truly believe that what the Bible says when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means that you have an understanding. When somebody says, no, you can't, you're able to say, yes, I can. It can't be done. Why? What God you serve. But Satan doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to do that. I want to share with you a couple of stories throughout that speaks to unstoppable prayer. All right, is that okay? I want to tell you this first story about a family. It was back in April some years ago. And it was a farmer in a small rural town in South Georgia. And he looked up to see a tornado approaching his property. And as he ran for cover, his wife crowded their three young daughters up under the dining room table and waited in fear. And when the devastating twister arrived at their house, the girls watched their mother, and her mother grabbed them, pulled them close, and started praying. I can imagine her saying, Lord, protect my home. Protect my family. Protect my husband, oh Father. And I can imagine her praying this prayer to the top of her voice for protection. And moments later, the deafening train-like sound of winds faded in the distance. And then the family got themselves together and they walked outside to see the aftermath of the storm. The destruction was all around them. Their barn, a few yards away, was heavily damaged. The destruction had the power lines were down on the ground. The giant oak tree that was in front of their house was uprooted now, lying on its side. And then there was a church that was across the street. It had been rocked off of its foundation. What was once there was flat. But their home and their family was left completely untouched. I believe that's unstoppable prayer. I believe that's the type of prayer that you pray from your heart, your gut. You're leaving it all in God's hands, and you're believing his promise to protect you. I believe that's what happened that day. And then in the Bible, you all are familiar with the story of Daniel, right? Daniel believed so much in the power of prayer that when the creed went out, Daniel said, I'm going to stand. I will not be swayed. Daniel believed so much in the power of prayer that he prayed 3 times a day. He had his specific time. He had a specific location in which he prayed. There probably were others that prayed too. And probably some of them were afraid for their life, and so they followed the creed. But no, not Daniel. This prayer was so important to Daniel that he put his life on the line for it. Now, we know also that Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Now, come on now, that's probably enough for a lot of us to say, okay, I give. I don't want to have no part of them, you know. And we give up prayer, but Daniel was steadfast. He was like, bring it on. And they threw him in the lion's den. Have y'all seen the teeth of a lion? Oh, my goodness. And the paws of a lion. But Daniel, he didn't appear to be afraid. And if he was afraid, he had faith that God would take care of him. And I think he even had the faith that if God didn't take care of him in that situation, he would be all right with God. And so he was prepared to die. But as the story goes on, you know, the next day when the king and the people came to check Daniel out, I imagine Daniel was sitting there with a lion on this side, lion on that side, one down at the bottom, and he telling them a story and rubbing their heads, and, you know, and the lion's just cooing, you know. That's because that power of prayer, God took care of Daniel. God is our protector. When we pray unstoppable prayers, God answers those prayers. When we believe and we trust and we have faith in God, he will rest assured that our prayers will be unstoppable. We can rely on him for that. You know, and there is, there are so many stories. I have a hard time trying to decide, well, what am I going to share with you all? Because I really want us to understand that prayer is our weapon against the devil. There is really no other weapon against the devil that we can have. Prayer is it. And if we don't take advantage of it, then we are just setting ourselves up for the devil's attack. You know, you could sit there and you could say, well, I pray. I don't have to worry about that. But do you pray like the Bible says pray? That's the difference. The word of God says, pray without ceasing. Do you pray like that? I gave an illustration the other night on the call. I had just read something and somebody compared prayer to a flat tire. I mean, not a flat tire, I'm sorry, a spare tire. When do you use a spare tire? Huh? When you're in an emergency situation and your tire busted or, you know, went flat, then you go to the trunk and you open up and you get that spare tire, right? So he compared prayer to a spare tire for some people's lives. They only pray in an emergency. In an emergency. The car is skidding off of the highway. What do? Lord, save me. I need you. The relationship is at its end. You don't want it to end. And now you want, Lord, please save me. You know, he hears those prayers too. He hears those prayers too. But he would rather have a relationship with you. So that when you get to know him, you'll know how to steer away from those emergency situations. Right? That's what he really wants for all of us, to build that relationship so we don't have to call upon him like that. Can't find my note here. Here we go. There's another story. Sometimes we want to limit God. Sometimes we want to limit God. We have a certain need, or the church has a certain need, or whatever the case may be. And the first thing we do is we look in our wallet. And we say, well, no, we can't do that. We don't have enough money. We can't do that. We hear terms like, that's not logical thinking. That's not practical, is another big one I've heard. That's not practical. Let me ask you this question. When you read about God and what he can do, do you ever hear the word logical? No. Or how about practical? No. That's us. That's our thinking. We serve a God that has no bounds. He's not dependent on your skill set, your degrees, your money, the people you know. He don't need any of that. Listen, we're talking about the God that raises people from the dead. That's not logical. That doesn't even make sense. You're dead, you're dead. He defies logic. So here's another story about trusting in God, believing in God, understanding that God can do all things. This story is about a school. A few trusted friends believed God was leading them to launch a new Christian school in their area. And to get started, of course, they needed desks, they needed books, they needed the right location. But guess what? They had little money. Some folk like to say little to no money. What they needed more than anything was faith. Faith and prayer. So during those early days of the school, they watched how God rapidly guided and he provided. Here's what happened. A local church agreed to house the school and allow the facilities to be remodeled for the purpose. Then a local business donated free lumber. Then, get this, there was a volunteer ministry team from another state that showed up to help with construction. And within weeks, they had new classrooms and officers were completed. Then another school called them and offered books and desks and chairs. The timing was unbelievable. And then soon they had students sitting in the new classrooms with books in their hands and teachers in front of them. But it didn't stop there. Soon after that, the school began to grow, and they needed funds to rent a modular unit for the school. It outgrew what they were given. And so they did what they did the first time. They prayed that God would somehow provide $7,000 to set it up. And a few days later, a married couple unexpectedly dropped by to see the headmaster. And the husband of the couple asked if the school had any needs. The headmaster shared about the expansion opportunity and how they were praying specifically for the needed amount. The couple's mouths dropped open as they looked at each other in amazement. The husband said, "Well, we're here because we believe God wanted us to bring you this." And the husband reached into his jacket pocket, and he pulled out a check already made out in the amount of $7,000. And he laid it on the headmaster's desk. It was to the penny they had been praying God would send. Unstoppable. Unstoppable prayer. It has been done. And I like to say, if God did it before, he could do it again. He can do it again. And he keeps proving himself over and over and over again. We hear stories in the Bible. We hear stories in the Bible like the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years? She did a lot of praying. 12 years. And when she finally had opportunity, she wasn't even supposed to go out the house, people. She wasn't even supposed to leave the house. But she risked it all. And she went anyhow. And she was able to fight through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment. And as crowded as it was, you know the story. Jesus turns around and asks this unusual question: "Who touched me, huh? Come on now. You walking through a crowd, everybody's bumping up on you. How you gonna ask who touched me? Who touched me?" That doesn't even make sense to you and me, does it? Jesus don't operate like you and me. He defies the way that we think. He says, "You can't think like me." And so he asks the question, "Who touched me?" Long story short, he said, "Your what has healed you?" "Your faith. Your faith has made you whole." There's countless of stories about faith. Faith is connected with prayer. You can't have faith unless you pray. When you pray, God will tell you what to pray about for. If you want to increase faith, you got to pray for it. Unstoppable prayer. Skimming through what I need to share with you as the time goes by a little bit. What do you all need today? I want you to think about, what is it that you may be struggling with? You know, as a father, I struggle all the time. Am I being a good enough dad? Am I providing for my family the way that I should? Am I showing enough love to my wife? I struggle with that. I always feel that I'm not coming up. You know, I'm not giving enough of myself. That's one of my struggles. I'm just being open and honest with you. What are you struggling with? We have to be open and honest. If you want to expect more out of prayer, then we have to get to the point where we are specific about our prayers. We're good at praying general prayers. Oh, Father, please forgive all of us of our sins. Okay, that's good, but what'd you really say about you? God's here for you. He wants a personal relationship with you and I. How do you have a personal relationship? If you have a friend, guess what? You talk to your friend and you tell your friend everything that's going on. That's the type of relationship that God wants to have with us. And he wants us to build on those relationships. Prayer can do anything. Because with God, all things are possible. He wants us to know that it's time to let go of the thought pattern that so many have had. You know, they know that Jesus is there, but he won't listen to me because I did so and so. I can't come back to Jesus right now. I got to get my life together. If that's not an oxymoron, I don't know what is. How are you going to get your life together? You was the one that messed it up in the first place. You where you are because you've been trying to do it. All right. Without Jesus. So if you want to get your life together, what do you got to do? Call on the man that knows what to do. It's as simple as that. He stands, hey, I'm waiting. He tells us straight up, listen, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door is going to be open to you. Seek and ye shall find. If I don't know the answer, I need to seek. Well, guess what? He gave us the instruction book right here. Right here. Seek and ye shall find. He has equipped you and I with everything that we need. And all he's waiting for is you and I to move out of our own ways and look to him. As simple as that. As simple as that. Prayer changes things. You got to believe it, though. You got to have faith in it. You got to believe it. There is nothing too impossible for God. Mm-hmm. Now, if your viewpoint of God is small, that answers his own self. But if your viewpoint of God is huge, and he talks to us all the time, he says, look, I'm a visionary person. God has given me that gift to see things that other people can't see. You know, like, for instance, right now, I could see this whole building getting so packed that we would have to have multiple services. And then we'd have to make the decision, what are we going to do now? We're going to have to build another building, buy some property, buy the whole block? Or is God going to give us a property where we can house one big service? I see that. Some of you, if you're honest, you're like, no, that's not happening. See? But I believe that God can do that. I believe that he will do that. And I'm a visionary. And God tells me this. That's good. That's good, Daryl. That's cute. But this is what I see. You know, God will say, you know, yeah, the whole block, that's nice. But how about Mars Hill location 2 and location 3, location 4 or campus 4? You know, because Sanford is big. And if you understand how many people are searching for hope just here in Sanford, they're looking for Christ. And if we follow God's lead, when he says he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, I'm ready to start making decisions on those other things. It's a headache right where we are right now. I want new headaches. I'm tired of these. Let's overcome these and see what God got prepared for us. That's what I want to be. That's where I want to be. And he extends that same vision even in your own personal life. You know, you could be doing okay. You could have that degree, and you could be getting six figures, and you're living comfortably, got your house and two or three car garage, and it's filled up, and, you know, kids are taken care of. And then God comes along. He says, that's cute. That's cute. Let me tell you my dream for you. You know, I want to live like that, the abundant life. How about you? I want to live that life. And in order for us to really live that life, we have to pray about it. We have to learn how to pray unstoppable prayers. Unstoppable prayers. I'm going to give you one more story, and then we're going to bring it to a close, because I think you all understand where I'm coming from. Amen. Some of you may have heard this story. Some of you may have not. Anybody know the name George Mueller? It's George Mueller. All right, I see one. Maybe two. All right. Well, George Mueller, in England, a humble man by the name of George Mueller led the Ashton Down Orphanage in Bristol and took care of more than 10,000 orphans throughout his life. 10,000 orphans. He did so without ever asking anyone for money. He would pray in secret and then watch God provide publicly. He wasn't a rich man, so we can't say, well, he was living off his money. If you understand, and I encourage you, when you have time, just look up George Mueller and read his whole story. Because when you see his background, then you really understand unstoppable prayer. But let me go on. Now, one morning, the children had gotten dressed and ready for school, but there was no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her, he asked her to take the 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. They had no food. He thanked God for the food. He thanked God for the food, and he waited. All of the kids are at the table, and they're waiting. Well, George knew God would provide food for the children, as he always did. And within minutes, a baker knocked on the door. Mr. Mueller, he said, last night I just could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. And so I got up early and baked 3 batches of bread for you. I'll bring it in. Now, soon after that knock on the door, another knock came on the door. It was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. And so he asked George if he could use some milk this morning. Some free milk this morning. And so George smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk, which was just enough to feed 300 children. Now, George was very meticulous when it came to recording all of these miracles that God performed for him. And it says, when George Mueller died, he'd recorded detailed accounts of more than 50,000 documented answers to prayer in his journal. And his example and teaching of prayer has blessed millions around the world. Unstoppable prayer. Unstoppable. Now, you may be like me. You may be like me at times, or how I have been. I believe I've been growing. I've been asking God to help move me along. And there are times I'm like, wow, these stories are great, God. Oh, man, the school gets $7,000, exactly what they've been asking for. George Mueller don't have no food on the table for all these kids, and boom, knocking on the door, and it feeds all of the kids. And sometimes I've asked God, I said, Lord, what about me? You know, I'd like to have a miracle like that too. I'd like to have a miracle like that too. But one thing that I realized is this. When I asked that question, I was not praying the way God wanted me to pray. I was not praying without ceasing. I was not bringing everything to God, even when he asked me to. I didn't turn it all over to God. I want you to think about it right now. Are you getting unstoppable prayers? Is God blessing you in a manner that you see is making a difference in not only your life, but other people's lives? Think about it. Think about it.
To Jesus, make up your mind. Yes. He will make your life brand new.
Yes, he will.
Oh.
heard what the song says. Come to Jesus while you have time. He's waiting on you. With open arms, he doesn't care what you did in your past. He said, pray. And here, if you have this guilt over your head of what happened in the past or what's going on now, and you don't feel like you're worthy, understand this. There's a purpose for prayer. On last night's session, we talked about when we have this guilt and shame, or if we've done something, and, you know, we talked about what God does when we come to him in prayer. When we ask God to forgive us, he does not hesitate. He's not like you and me. You might ask me to forgive you. Do I really forgive you? Or when the next time something comes up, I bring that back up. Our God doesn't work that way. He said, listen, when you ask me for forgiveness, this is what I'll do. I will take whatever that is. I will toss it into the deepest part of the ocean where no one has gone before. And they won't find it. I won't look for it. I won't bring it back up. I will let it go. You have a clean slate with me. That's what he's saying. And what he's asking you right now is, come to me. Come to me. And so right now, the opportunity is here. If you have not given your heart to God, he's asking you to come to him. Raise your hand. Stand. If you have never given your heart to God, you can do so right now. Because he's asking you to come to Jesus. Come to him. Is there anyone today? Is there anyone that wants to come to Jesus?
Come unto Jesus.
Yes.
While you have time.
Come to Jesus. Not too late.
He will make your life brand new.
Yes, he will.
For he will take care of you.
Come on.
Come to Jesus. While you have time.
Sing that one more time. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you for your great gift that you've given us, unstoppable prayer. You've laid it before us, Lord. You've spelled it all out, how to obtain it, how to use it, when to use it, who to use it against, Father. And I ask you, O Lord, to pour out your Holy Spirit on us, on your church. Draw us into a daily and more intimate walk with you. May prayer become as natural to us as breathing. And may you work through our prayers to help bring your kingdom and your will in our hearts, in our homes, and in this generation and generations to come. We thank you, O Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.